show.
Five. Let's go. Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokon Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Orion is so... He just wants to get home. You know, he's been working all day and all night. He just wants to get through this. Here we go.
Number five.
Oh, gosh.
Donald Trump is going to build the Space Force!
Mm-hmm. Except you can't add the sixth branch of the military without congressional approval. Got to work that part out first.
Well, yeah, he kind of, well, it kind of got a little ahead of him. I quite honestly have never understood what they're doing here with this, because we already do have the Air Force Space Command that has the exact same responsibility, but yet he wants to build, I think he wants his legacy to be, you know, he wants to be able to say to people at dinner parties, by the way, the Space Force, I invented that. Because he figures that 2 months after he's out of office, people will forget that he did that or that he was president. Oh, God. Anyway, the point is that he wants to do this, wants to spend money on building another branch of the military. I don't happen to think we need it, but that's not up to me. That's just my opinion. Jim Mattis, he is the Secretary of Defense. He thinks it's a great idea.
We're working it up. What that actual organization will look like, it'll be fit for purpose, is what I can assure you. But I don't have all the final answers yet. We're still putting that together. We are in complete alignment with the president's concern about protecting our assets in space that contribute to our security, to our economy, and we're going to have to address it as other countries show a capability to attack those assets. We'll get it right. We'll work it through the Congress. We have the direction from the president, and we're underway.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't this sound basically like if you have Richie Rich, where the president of the United States, the comic book character, and they don't want to tell him no to his Space Force, but they want to, it's like you want the puppy. We're going to get a puppy? Oh, we'll see. That was, I think Jim Mattis was giving us the big we'll see. It was the Heisman.
Saying, no, you'll get your puppy.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We're, you know what we need to do, though? We need to get the house puppy-proofed first.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, maybe we got to, maybe we should wait till after Christmas to get the puppy.
Vice President Pence is delivering a speech about the puppy this Thursday about the next steps and how this will actually be created. So they're moving forward.
I don't get what they think they're getting out of this. Because everything that this White House seems to do is very, very political, right, in its intent. And I don't fully understand where they think they're getting votes on this.
They're digging deeper in that
alien votes?
Group. Yeah.
Since they're losing actual aliens, they want other aliens, space alien votes? I don't know.
Well, I think vulnerability. If there were any vulnerabilities by the U.S. in space, it would be taken advantage of by, you know, military adversaries, right? So you don't want to have that situation. But whether or not it's part of the existing military or a brand new branch, how it's created, what kind of private sector involvement there is, because that's what the president is promising, that the private sector is going to help pay for it because they will be using our facilities.
We already do this, though. That's the thing. It's sort of like, it would be kind of like, I can't even imagine an analogy that really works for this, because we already have one. It's like he wants a puppy. He's already got a dog. He's got the Air Force does this already. The Air Force spends billions of dollars on this.
Yeah.
It creates a whole new bureaucracy in the Pentagon. Mm-hmm. And he's spending money like a drunk sailor, except this is a space sailor. I don't understand. But it does allow us to say things like, Space Force!
Sounds great. You can loan that to Vice President Pence for Thursday's speech.
You say they dug up from Mike Pence, they dug up this whole thing about how a president should be impeached for his morality, and,
yeah,
and if he besmirches the presidency by having affairs and maybe lying about them, that's grounds for impeachment.
Right, you've lost your moral authority to lead, he said, of course talking about Bill Clinton in the 90s.
Mike, go out and talk about the Space Force. All right,
don't
sir.
Don't field any questions about that.
It's the greatest honor of my life to serve you, sir. All right, here we go.
Number four.
Seth Meyers last night had our friend Lester Holt on the program.
Oh, nice.
Lester Holt is a regular on this very broadcast on Thursdays. You can hear him here at 4 o'clock. They talked about the whole, I'm sorry, what now, Wednesdays? Is that what you're saying? Wednesdays now.
Mm-hmm.
We just moved them to Wednesdays last week.
Okay.
Thank
Keep
you.
Track of that.
Yep. I got to change that on my mental calendar. So tomorrow you can hear Lester Holt on this program at 4
o'clock. That's what you meant.
Yes, that's what I meant. Now, he was on Seth Meyers last night, and he, you know, they talked about the whole fake news thing and the president tweeting about how it's fake and sick and disgusting, the news business in America.
You know, I let the fake news stuff roll off my back. It's not fun. But I think most people understand an organization like ours, and a lot of the organizations under fire have been doing this for decades and decades, and we've earned a lot of trust with our audiences and a tradition of excellence. So I let that roll. I think where I draw the line, though, is the safety and well-being of my colleagues. And enemy of the people, I think, crosses a line. I think it's reckless. I respectfully ask that it end. And that's what I have to say about it.
As an American, that's an okay thing to say.
It really is. It really is. It's sort of enough is enough. I mean, they're saying a recent poll showed 43% of people surveyed said that it would be okay for the president to shut down news organizations that he felt were being disrespectful or, you know, wrong in some way. And it just feels as if that's the beauty of a free press, that you can ask uncomfortable questions. You can even print things that the president may not want to hear. I get it. There are some organizations that have moved a little too far in one direction or the next, but let's accept that as something that keeps our democracy open, and having a free press is a cornerstone of what we stand for here in America. There's such a threat to it.
43%? Would that same 43% think it's okay if Barack Obama wanted to shut down the press?
I wouldn't think so.
No, I don't think so.
Well, he's not even American, so he can't shut down
the press. Excellent point, Violetta. Thank you very much. Thank you.
According to the real media.
according to the current president of the United States. All right. Let's see here. But wait, hold on. Lester also talked about, listen to this, his early days in broadcasting as a DJ.
Yeah, I was a disc jockey, a weekend disc jockey in Sacramento. And, so I did Saturday and Sunday, midnight to 6 a.m.
Wow.
And then they offered me, when I started college, they offered me a chance to work full time if I would do news. And I was like, how hard can that be? turns out pretty hard. But they put me in a Jeep Cherokee with police scanners and two-way radios. And I hit the streets and started covering news, and I never looked back.
That's radio guy's rival.
I did a cup of coffee in Sacramento, too. I remember it.
Oh, gosh. Do you remember Lester Holt? Do you think he was your competition?
KSUC. I'll never forget it. The sucker. 93-1, the sucker.
The sucker.
Oh, gee.
There's hope for you to go into news, cheesy.
Yeah, isn't that what I'm doing here right now?
How hard could it be?
It's not hard at all. I listen to Judy Blue Eyes all the time. I know.
I'm sorry, did you say you want to get into news?
How hard could it really be?
You want me to show you how hard it can be? It'll hurt, like physically.
I'd love to see that internship.
He sounds like he's slurring a bit today.
Well, that's no problem.
Hit the Jack Daniels
as
early.
As you can write, you can
drink.
I
had a blue blood vessel in my head. I'm not sure which one it is.
Show up in time, right. Do a good job, you're good.
And Lester said this then. He was asked this.
What's your dream next chapter? I do.
I don't know, because people think I'm going to write books and all that. I want to form a wedding band.
Okay.
You know, I'm a bass player.
You play bass, that's right.
I want you to think for a second. When's the last time you danced? I'm going to bet it was at a wedding reception.
100%.
A cover band at a wedding. People are having fun. You've got two-year-olds. You got grandma dancing. It's a happy moment. It's a happy thing. And I think, what a great job that would be. The only downer, you got to work weekends.
Okay, he hasn't thought this out, but we'll ask him about that tomorrow.
We need to ask him about that. He's played some, you know, pretty big gigs. He's got a band assembled with other news people mostly from, I think, NBC, in front of the camera, behind the scenes, and apparently they're pretty good.
Yeah, I played a triangle in the band for a while. Couldn't cue. I just couldn't understand the instrument.
Shredding the triangle?
Yeah, and a cowbell. pretty good at cowbell.
Cowbell.
1, 2, 3. We'll come to 3.
Mm, don't worry about it.
All right, we'll get to your 3, your 2, and your 1. That's the kind of nut math I understand. What's that mathnasium phone number again? We'll get to that coming up. But first, Judy, tell us what's coming up in the real news at the bottom of the hour.
Heavy rains causing flooding in the Chicago area.
Feel at it?
Time to show New York they aren't the only ones who make pinstripes look good. Tuesday night baseball, White Sox Yankees tonight at 7 on WGN-TV.
There you go. All right, Top 5 5 continues. We've worked our way to
number 3.
Okay. Okay.
What's going on?
All right. The NFL is going to have male cheerleaders this year.
Oh.
Ah, yeah. What's going on?
I'm fulfilling a lifelong dream. Thanks, guys.
Oh. That'd be fun for you, Kev.
Would you like, what would you like to dance to, Kev?
It's raining men. Hallelujah, it's raining men. Amen.
Yeah, I see it. I see it.
Well, why not?
Yeah.
It's 2018.
The Colts and the Ravens already have stuntmen that do things, you know, like you jump out of the sky and do those kinds of deals.
Mm-hmm. Jump out of the sky and do those
Whatever.
Kinds of deals.
Yeah,
that's
well,
what you
know,
do,
cheerleading
Kevin.
Stuff.
But the Rams and the Saints now are going to have guys dancing along. Would you like to meet two of them from the Rams? Okay, this is Quentin Perrone and Napoleon Ginnies.
Go hard or go home. At this point, like my personal motto is live lucky and dance bold. I feel like I've been dancing pretty bold this far.
I was practicing a lot, so I felt like I did pretty well. A lot of eye contact and a lot of smiles, so I feel good.
Oh, God.
It's raining men.
Oh, God.
Hallelujah, it's raining men.
What a meal. I just don't want male cheerleaders.
Right. Will the male cheerleaders also get below minimum wage pay and be forced to sign restrictive contracts about their makeup and what they wear and where
and
they go and
how,
if they ever look make eye contact with the players?
Will they also get harassed?
I'm just wondering. Throwing that out there.
Team executives.
If they enter a restaurant or a nightclub that has a player in it, they have to leave
they
immediately?
They have to walk out per their contract.
I'm going to be honest with you right now. Hold on. I'm going to kind of give Quentin and Napoleon are not going to be in the same nightclubs with a lot of
sure.
players. That's what I'm saying.
Before you sign up, Quentin, just take a look at the fine print.
Yeah. I don't think Quentin's got to worry about that. All right.
Okay. It's all going to be fine.
Hey, good for them.
Yeah. No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
It's not. This is another headache for Roger Goodell.
Remember the Bears just had to get rid of the cheerleaders?
Right. Virginia McCaskey didn't even want cheerleaders,
right?
Right. They're like, no, we're not doing it. Because, you know, the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders, they're the only ones that anybody really ever cared about.
Those
the Raiderettes a little bit, because the Raiderettes look like they could kill you, too.
Some eye patches on,
right,
tattoos,
like,
smoking
right.
a cigarette on the
biker
sideline.
Biker chicks.
Right.
Hold on a second. I think I hurt my hamstring. There's a lot of, you know, it was a little kind of a thing. All right. Checking in at
number 2.
I can't see you over there staring at your drink, watching that I sink all alone tonight.
New Jersey woman wanted to help a guy at her local convenience store who was struggling to come up with cash for his little purchase.
Yeah.
So she helped him out. And what she did not realize, Ruth Reed, retired teacher, is that the guy she was helping out is Keith Urban.
And I go out, what's your name, Ruth? And he said, Ruth, I'm Keith. And I said, oh, that's who you look like, Keith Urban. Do people ever tell you you look like Keith Urban? And he said, I am Keith Urban. I said, no, you're not, really. And I said, really? Then where's Nicole? And who was that woman you were with? And snippy, not nice.
No.
And so
you got snippy with Keith Urban.
Yes. And then he said, it's my sister. We can ask her. I said, okay. I don't think she would lie to some old lady. And he really could have said, lady, get away from me. And he didn't. He was very kind.
How sweet is that? And she's very kind, too. She says she makes it her duty every once a week to treat somebody at that store and just happened to be Keith.
I'd like to know something.
What?
Why did Keith Urban need the money? That's what I like. Does
he
Nicole
doesn't
keep
carry
the money?
Cash.
What about his sister? Sister doesn't have cash?
He's a credit card guy.
Get the Apple Pay, Keith.
At the convenience store, at the Wawa. He was at a Wawa store.
Never mind.
I don't know if they take that there. I live in the West Loop where I live. A lot of the establishments proudly proclaim at the front entrance, we will not take cash. We are a cash-free zone. Cash-free environment.
What is wrong?
We don't do cash.
What is wrong with those people?
I hate them.
I don't know. I thought cash was still king.
Cash is king.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Telling you that right now. I don't want guy cheerleaders. All right.
That one bothers you.
And finally,
number one.
It's one of the great sports icons of the NHL. He's a player that has lived on for generations after he stopped playing. Today, the memories of Stan Mikita are being shared by Blackhawks and fans throughout the nation, throughout the world. Mikita was a Blackhawk for 22 years. Led the franchise in points, 1,467. Games played, 1,394. Four-time Art Ross Trophy winner is the NHL's leading scorer. He was named Hart Trophy winner for league MVP in the 1966 and 1967 seasons. In those same years, Mikita was also named the Lady Byng Trophy winner for sportsmanlike conduct. Here are some of his teammates. Tony Esposito.
Stan played forever here. He was a scoring champion and leader and great talent. You know, for a guy that weighed 160 pounds, that's all he weighed, Stan. Tough little guy.
Stan's jersey, number 21, was retired in 1980. In 1983, he was inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame. He served as an ambassador for the Blackhawks in 2008, starting in 2008. Here is Jonathan Toews, the Stan Mikita of his generation.
And Stan especially, who, you know, if you look at him and Bobby, he was probably, you know, on the more serious side of the two, but obviously had a lot of great qualities about him as a person, as a leader, and obviously carried it into his later years. And when you don't see him around as much, you're still kind of disconnected to what he accomplished as a hockey player, what he did for the city. But we all know what that name means to this franchise and to hockey in Chicago and its history.
And here is Stan Mikita back in 1995 on his love of the city that became his.
I'll never forget the first time in the stadium. I was called up as an 18-year-old kid out of junior hockey. Montreal's in town. I'm sitting on the bench. Middle of the first period, the coach tapped me, which was Rudy Pillis at the time, tapped me on the shoulder. He said, "Go and take this face out," which was in the Montreal end zone. And I said, "Who, me?" He said, "Yeah, get the hell out there." So I jumped over the boards, fell on my ass because my legs were a little shaky. And I get to the face-off circle and put my stick down, and I look up to see who I'm facing off against. And I just kept looking and looking and looking. It happened to be John Beliveau. At that time, I think I was about 5'8". He's 6'5". So, you know, it was quite an imposing figure that I was looking at. And that was my first impression of hockey in Chicago.
Stan Mikita was 78.
The top five at five.